Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is Paul Hawksby
and Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily here on TalkSport. It's not on TalkSport, it's on iTunes and wherever you get your podcast. But we are a TalkSport show, so that kind of works.
Originally it was on TalkSport.
Yeah. We're going to bring you Richard Herring today, the comedian, York City and Leeds fan, snooker player. He was on good form. He was telling us about his new show and his podcast. And we had a bit of a chat, didn't we? Covered some ground.
All sorts of stuff.
Just to give you a heads up, actually, the podcast, the daily podcast, as from next week, is going weekly.
That's right.
You'll get a bumper crop of a Thursday. And you'll be able to download all the best bits of the week. It's been decided. Them upstairs. Yeah. And it's across the board, not just us.
I think it's fair enough.
That you're going to get a nice weekly dollop as opposed to the daily helping.
It'll be longer than this one, so you won't be able to listen to it all at once unless you're really a masochist.
Yeah. But anyway, that's what we're doing. So just to give you a heads up, if you're somebody who downloads the podcast on a daily basis, we'll go weekly. But for now, here's the best of today. Six minutes past one. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Oh, good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, everybody.
I had a feast of entertainment last night at Wembley.
Feast.
We had an edgy crowd, an edgy team, and it basically manifested itself in a very edgy game. And thank the Lord that Watford were off their game because, man, were Spurs there for the taking.
Oh, they certainly were. It was very interesting. Bill Leslie said at one point, he said, Watford have lost 9 out of their last 10 away, but have an air of unpredictability about them. I thought, not really. You can predict they're going to lose.
But I looked on the positive as I left. I'd not been royally entertained, but, you know, Tottenham off their game in that situation, under pressure, in most of my lifetime, well, certainly in the latter part of my year supporting them, would have folded, would have lost last night. But they've got more resilience.
Well, if Richarlison hadn't been playing for about 3 years non-stop,
he
might have punished you, honestly.
I know,
what
a miss over the bar.
He had so many chances.
One of the moments of the evening was that people were thinking, shall I leave early? Shall I leave early? There might be another goal. Anything could happen. But it was the mass clunking of seats at the moment when Moussa Sissoko drove that ball over the bar on about 89 minutes. No, that's time to go now.
Oh, yeah.
We can safely go now. Moussa's stuck one over the bar.
I watched it, really, the whole thing. I just watched intermittently in between the FA Youth Cup final.
He's got to be one of the most hapless players in front of goal I've ever seen, Moussa Sissoko. He's quite staggering, really.
Yeah.
Thank God he makes such a contribution in other areas of the pitch.
Oh, no, he doesn't. He's all right for Newcastle. I don't know what happened there. He's not really worked out for Tottenham. Whoops,
I think it was when they were dancing in the streets of Newcastle when we paid for him. We maybe should have read a bit more into that than we did at the time.
I do think, though, that if Spurs play like that against West Brom, they'll be in trouble.
Well, I know.
Because I think West Brom capable of beating them on that sort of form.
But I think the circumstances last night meant they were edgy. You know, Chelsea breathing down there. They knew they had to get a result. And you could sense that. You know, players like Dembele and Dier just giving away sloppy passes constantly.
It's done. If you win on Saturday, it's done. Because then you'll be 8 points ahead and there'll only be, there's still three games.
I wouldn't be at all surprised. I mean, Albion are fighting for their lives. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if that ends up as a draw, which could keep the whole thing alive.
I'm fancying Albion in that one.
Yeah, well, no, you could do.
Yeah, I could do. But I'm not automatically
sure. Tottenham look a bit leggy. They look a bit tired physically and mentally at the moment. But they've got to go again, and I think last night maybe will help them do that.
It didn't look great, but, you know, look, to be honest...
Was good, Andy. Watford.
Will Hughes. He had a good game, didn't he? He's a good player. Decent player, he is.
Good to see him in the flesh. Yeah.
But Chelsea, you can't... You know, we lost 4-1 to Watford. Why are you looking at me? How can you lose 4-1 to these? 3-0 at home to Bournemouth.
They're in a different place then.
One point out of West Ham the whole season out of six. Deserve to finish in the top.
We're going to talk about your kids a little bit later on. Watched that match, yeah?
Yes, I did. I picked out some. We'll talk with Dan Levine. I picked out some ones that I really think have got a chance.
Yeah,
there's no question about it. But it's a very complicated issue, and it's not as much. It's not these that played last night that need to be ready for the first team. They're probably not. You know, it's the ones that like the Loftus-Cheeks. Those are the ones that have got to get their chance. Yeah. Tammy Abrahams.
So we're going to talk a bit later on about the philosophy of the owner, which is, it's kind of Jekyll and Hyde, really. He's got two very different takes on what he really wants from the club. He wants instant success and a brilliant youth structure. How do those two kind of work?
Well, part of the youth structure is to combat financial fair play. It's to harvest players. It's to develop players and sell them on. That's fine. Yeah. I mean, you know, you've got 38 on loan, 38 out on loan. You know, most of them aren't going to make it, aren't good enough. But you've still got to retain some, and especially with the Europa League, if you're going to be in that, which I think Chelsea will be, you need a big squad. Look, United have got a big squad, Arsenal got a big squad, and you can go far with that. If you've got a small squad like Chelsea you've got, forget the Europa League, because you just kill your league form altogether.
But what you really need, and we'll talk about this later, is a culture and an environment that allows a manager to feel like he can take chances and play kids.
Of course.
And not feel he's got to get instant success or he'll get the sack.
Do with the director of football as well, that might help. But anyway, that's by the by. We'll have a chat about Chelsea later on. Andy Murray's in the news, though. He's serving up a new career, says the Daily Star.
Is he really?
As an artist. Yeah. He's came out with images uncannily like those of Jackson Pollock. More like Jamie Pollock to me.
I thought you were going down the rhyming slang route. I was slightly worried.
They did that with the headline. I'm not going to do that.
Oh, okay.
It's a bit of fun.
What's the work like, Andy? Is it the sort of thing that Eric Dyer might like?
It is.
Ever since I found out he's a fan of modern art, I see him there in the midfield aimlessly passing the ball to Watford, thinking, you're thinking of the next Mark Rothko exhibition, aren't you? You're thinking of your next little trip to the Tate Modern, Eric. Concentrate, mate. Pass to a white shirt. That's all I'm asking of you.
Yeah, perhaps.
You may have missed it in the Sunday Times. He's a polymath. He's a Renaissance man. Eric. He's a man who'd rather go to an art gallery than a nightclub, which I'm all for.
I'm all for that. I think that's good.
But I don't want Rothko on his mind. But in the Hairly Barely of the Premier League midfield, I want him switched on.
No, you do. He'd be right if they're playing Blackburn in those sort of shirts, a bit like a Rothko.
Yeah, that's it. You know, if we played a team with a kind of great big smeared patterns, lots of maroons and stuff, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we?
We would.
Lots of crimson.
And David Beckham's had some new tattoos.
Well, I felt that he didn't quite have enough, personally. So that's a good idea. It's his 50th tattoo, isn't it?
There's something wrong there, isn't there, surely? I mean, 51 he's got, 51.
There's something wrong there.
Well, there is.
And like not... a nan. There oh, is. He's got something right. He's got something wrong with him.
Well, I think there is something wrong with having 51 tattoos on your body. I mean, there's something very strange about that.
I mean,
that.
It's not like he's got the kind of body you particularly wouldn't be happy with. You know what
I
mean?
No, he looks fantastic. He's a wonderfully good-looking man. He is. You know, I'm not saying he isn't.
He's had one on his scalp now, hasn't he? This is a tattoo on his... the old scalp tattoo.
One on his ear looks ridiculous. Yeah. But Brooklyn, who's absolutely achieved nothing in his career whatsoever. He hasn't.
No need for that, is he? He's a young boy making his way.
Well, he's not making his way. They just write about him in the papers every day.
He doesn't. It's not his fault, is it?
Well, I don't know. I'm not happy about it. And he's got 15.
Fifteen tattoos.
I'd just go and have my whole face tattooed like that bloke I saw in Waterloo once.
Oh, yeah,
just
yeah.
Like that. Full fantastic. Tyson, but like full... Full on.
And you think that chance to become the governor of the Bank of England backfires because you had the old face tattoo.
They couldn't tell him off, could they? They couldn't say to him, oh, what are you doing there, having your whole face tattooed?
Mm. Who couldn't tell him off?
The Beckhams, parents.
What, mum and dad?
Yeah.
Well, I think they'd have a word. I'd have a quiet word. I think, you know, if we didn't tell them first, you'd have a problem. But,
Oh, it's not right, really.
Okay, well, no tattoos planned for you then, Andy. No. We mentioned yesterday you're a man still trying to find your style, even in your later years, just trying to find a look that suits you. So, not a tattoo for you, no?
No, I don't
One
so.
On the neck?
But I am going to stand in the power pose, the Tory power pose.
It's a good, yeah, it's good, slightly wide-legged, isn't it? It's a touch of the Cantona's about it after he scored that chip.
Well, somebody said that Cristiano Ronaldo waiting to take a free kick.
Yeah, yes, a bit of that.
What is wrong with these people? Really, I'm fascinated by these people that advise politicians and say, you know what you want to do? You want to stand. Like, it makes you look fantastic.
Yeah.
No, it makes you look like an utter idiot.
Okay, well, there we are. Political satire.
It's not satire. It's just true. Tattoo though, isn't it?
Based.
It's not normal. It's not natural. Who stands like that naturally?
Oh, I can give it a try. It doesn't really work, does it? Doesn't
not really. Not on radio, really, but you know. Okay. I appreciated it.
Well, thank you. The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Good afternoon, Hawksby and Jacobs here on Talk Sport. Ian Abraham's just tweeting pictures from the runway. They're shortly to take off. 25-minute delay, tells her off to Rome, of course.
What a pointless picture from an egomaniac.
Yeah.
Really?
It's going to be good sport for Alan, though. Alan Brazil and Dean Saunders will be there on tomorrow and Thursday around the Liverpool-Roma game.
Yeah, but, you know, I hope Alan takes advantage of Rome. It's a really beautiful place.
Of course he will. Take advantage of the fine red wine.
Go out and
I
do
believe
some features on the Vatican and places like that.
Well, he may do.
No, he won't.
He's having a bit of sport with the moose, so he's giving him some clog.
Marvellous.
So, yeah, you can expect that tomorrow morning. So, anyway, yeah, live on breakfast from Rome, Dean Saunders and Alan Brazil on the Sports Breakfast. With the moose, of course, out and about speaking to the locals.
Oh, they'll have fun. Anyway, we've done the power pose. It's on, you can have a look online.
Yeah, we felt very powerful doing that. Yeah,
it's a woman called Amy Cuddy, C-U-D-D-Y, who basically advises people. She did a TED talk on it.
Did she really? Okay, yes, we're going to learn how to stand properly.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, there are ways if you're kind of in on yourself and you don't look very confident. That's not great in a politician. But there's a balance between that and standing like Ronaldo before a free kick, isn't there?
No ideal, is it really? No. what about what was I going to say?
I've got no idea.
No, I'm going to say it now.
Okay.
Oh yes, it's the Daily Star's World Cup scare story. You
always love
this.
One of them. Yeah.
Oh, this is brilliant. Honestly, Jerry Lawton at his finest. Mm. England football fans going.
They have one every day, don't they? Every day. Yeah.
But they try to have one every day. We've had everything you can imagine.
We've had women, groups of women hooligans.
Yeah,
we've had killer dogs.
Killer dogs, yeah. Dogs being killed. We've had all sorts of stuff. Anyway, here it is. England football fans going to the World Cup in Russia have been told to KO the BO or face fines. Really? Officials have introduced pong penalties in a bid to clean up supporters at the tournament. Foul-smelling fans using Moscow's three airports will be penalised for violating new rules of conduct. Anyone caught wearing smelly or stained clothes can expect a fine. I hope Moose doesn't wear that Neymar top that he wore for 14 days in a row in Brazil.
The one with the cleavage. Yeah, that wasn't a great look, was it? A beach bought knockoff Brazil top, yeah.
Sleeping in terminal buildings has been outlawed. Mm. Bad news for TalkSport. That's where they normally put us up.
Fantastic, yeah. I've got one by the window. I wanted the view by the window so I could see the runway.
Yeah.
Fantastic. The good thing is they've been good to us this year because the arms come up on the chairs, means we can actually lay out straight.
Fans also barred from dossing on benches, sitting on the floor, riding on airport trolleys and washing in public toilets. So there you go. And guess how much the fine will be? It's quite serious. Passengers who violate the new regulations will be hit with on-the-spot fines of up to 500 rubles, £5.77.
Wow. That could not
be almost worth having BO for that.
Yeah.
£5.77.
Yeah.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
Mm.
Well done, the Star Texter who wrote this. Why is Ant and Dec never out of the papers? What's happened to your grammar? Really?
Well, that's not helping either.
Surely
is it?
Ant and Dec is an R. They're not a single entity, are
he's
they?
He's not called them Anton Dec, is he?
No.
Not Anton Dec from Strictly Come Dancing. Also, by writing about them in the papers, they are appearing in the papers even more thanks to that bloke. He hadn't really thought that through.
Andy, you often
say to me, the secret to living over 100 years old, and whenever somebody reaches 100, we like to know how they did it. Porridge and whiskey. Some people say a little nip of red wine every day. Some people, I've read wine. Other people have said, you know, 50 cigarettes. And not many have said that. but they haven't said that.
No
of course,
one said
that would be wrong.
Said that
but people have always got their own way of reaching the grand old age and getting the telegram from the Queen.
Yeah.
So well done to Army veteran Major John Hamilton. He was 100 earlier this week. And do you know what the secret of him is?
Oh, no. No, tell me.
Trying to have three guesses.
Three guesses. It's going not to be porridge outlandish. Or whiskey.
It's not porridge and whiskey. It's not red wine. What is it?
Don't know. Actually, what could it be? A gin and tonic.
Not a gin and tonic. No, go on. Have another guess.
Lots of oily fish.
Have another guess. Final one.
Final
for
one.
For the fridge freezer.
Don't know. I don't know. He's... You never supported a football team.
No.
It takes years off your life.
No, funnily enough, what it is, it's a 90-minute workout in the gym.
Oh, really?
So he's basically keeping incredibly fit.
90 minutes?
Yeah, he does a 90-minute daily gym workout at 100 years old.
Golly, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Man, you can't impressive. Argue with that, can you?
So there we are. That's the secret of long life, being fit. And that'll be 50 guineas, please. That's my consultancy fee.
It's not bad.
There's probably a university looking at this as we speak.
Have you seen this thing about Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? It's a new...
Yeah, it's come out with a whole, Clarkson, isn't it?
Yeah, it's come up with a whole bunch of new rules. And one of them is, you know, all the old things they used to have, which you did once, the, you know, ask phone a friend.
Oh, phone a friend. That's become something else, yeah.
But they've now got one, ask the host.
Mm.
So if you're, like, really in trouble, you can play the ask the host card.
Yeah,
but make sure you don't ask him about football because he knows nothing about that.
What, Clarkson? That's not his thing.
No, definitely not.
So if it's about
if it's about
cars, you'd go for it. I mean,
if he doesn't like you,
I mean, I think there was a few times over the years when it was pretty clear that Chris Tarrant wasn't massively keen on the contestant.
Can you imagine?
It'd be a great way to stiff them, wouldn't
it?
Really?
Yeah,
well, I'll ask you, Jeremy, what about this? And you think, no, I don't like you, mate. You're not winning the money. So that's quite high risk, isn't it?
It's true. If you get bored with tonight's game, Bayern versus Real Madrid, or Real Madrid versus Bayern, available here on TalkSport, but if you get bored with it, you can watch at 8 o'clock, Top of the Shop with Tom Kerridge. It sounds like a really mad programme. This meat producers fight it out for a place in the final.
Well, not literally.
I don't know. They include oil rig worker Mark, who prepares and cures bacon from his home in Aberdeenshire. It's a strange idea for a programme, isn't it?
So it's people who prepare their own meats.
I suppose so, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's quite hard to judge, though, isn't it? Really?
Well, I don't know, Andy. I suppose you taste it like anything else, don't you?
I suppose it's a bit like gymnastics.
That's quite niche, that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit niche,
really. I might stick with a football. Now, Sean Dyche was bemoaning the other day that they'd not had a penalty all season, Burnley. Mm. Which is amazing, really, isn't it, when you think about it?
It's not right, is it, really?
And he was asked about it by the press, and he said, there's no point me talking about penalties. It's well over a calendar year now, and I joked the other day it would take cartoon capers. What is it about managers of a certain age that revert back to about 1946 or whatever it is?
What is cartoon
capers?
Well,
I've got no... It was probably a comic before Sean's dad was born, let alone Sean. He said it will take...
Even I don't know what cartoon capers
Well, that's how old it is. It would take cartoon capers, and he explains, would someone hitting someone over the head with a club to get one? That would make a great You Are the Ref, wouldn't it? We're using Burnley players. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, I can see cartoon capers.
What is cartoon capers, Andy?
Well, it's obviously, it looks like an old comic from 1969.
Oh, nice. Oh, maybe Sean did buy it as a young man, or maybe it was bought for him. Yeah. Well, there we are.
Nobody being...
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
brought down in the box, as far as I can see, yeah. on the cover.
But that would be a fantastic, yeah. You know, we've got a Burnley attacker in the box. Ashley Barnes is in the box and suddenly is approached by, let's say, Ryan Shawcross out of, and whacked over there with a club. Do you A, give a penalty? B, say to Sean, well, it's been well over a calendar year and you said it'd have to be cards and capers, but I'm not giving that one. C, and the cameras, they all go off and no one picks it up.
Yeah, well, it could be either.
It could be.
On the buses, co-writer Ronald Chesney, the great Ronald Chesney, has died.
Yes, one for the kids.
No, but the thing is, I'm fascinated because we use the theme tune, don't we, for...
On the buses.
For Clips of the Week, we have done for years. And we're both big fans. We once interviewed Olive from On the Buses. Remember, she came in?
Yeah, that's right. We worked with her.
We worked with her. I've got photos of her with me, obviously. Yeah. Not photos of her. No, incriminating
got photos
of Olive.
That's why she's never dug the dirt. He's got photos of Anna Karen. Yeah.
Anyway... it was a legendary partnership. They wrote over 70 shows. I never realised there were so many of them. 3 movies. But the thing that fascinated me, because I was reading his obituary...
By the way, ask your grandad, this was a sitcom about a bus driver and a bus conductor and a comedy inspector, which was huge in the late 60s and early 70s. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I introduced it to my kids and they love it.
They liked it?
Yeah, I bought them a box set.
Did you really? Much of its time, isn't it, really?
Well, it was of its time, but they quite like it.
They probably look, see... I mean, I
Clippy's stand and I'd all imagine, that. I think that's very funny.
I'd imagine human resources at that bus garage might have got involved. Don't you, really?
Yeah, I think they might have done.
They may have had a few
London Transport refused to cooperate with the production because they thought it would make bus drivers and... bus drivers and conductors look stupid. So they had to find another bus company, which they did. Mm. But the thing about it, the only reason I mentioned it, is there's still now, you say it's an old thing, there's a fan club with 15,000 members.
Of the sitcom, really?
Yeah. So there's an On the Buses fan club.
Wow. And what'd you get? You get a little Blakey moustache?
Blakey moustache, yeah.
I think you get
newsletter.
That in the kit.
Yeah.
You know, they still have fan clubs. Footballers don't still have fan clubs, do they?
Well, I suppose they have fan. Well, they've got them On the Buses fan club. No, but you know, the fan club used to be a big thing.
It was, yeah. Kids used
the Beatles fan club.
Like, if you wanted to be in the, I don't know, Alan Brazil probably had a fan club.
He probably did. Yeah.
Do you think Alan did in Ipswich, where people would join and? And I don't know what he'd send. You'd have a little kit. You'd get a membership card, and you get a newsletter from Alan every month about what he's been up to.
Yeah, you get a sort of like some makeup so you can make your face look like Alan, nice and red.
I don't think you did. But was you ever in a footballer's fan club? And what did you get? What did you get for your fiver? Because they charge you for it.
You're one of those comedy stomachs.
Let us know. If you join the fan club, sport or otherwise, let us know. TalkSport.com. You can answer to him, not me. TalkSport.com.
No, he can't hear. He never listens.
Oh, he'll track you down.
He likes Ken Dunn in the afternoon. Wherever
he is. Likes, I do love a piece of...
Classic
what is it?
FM.
I love a bit of classic FM, when Pinky and Perky are on. Anyway, TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet SHNJ.
Talking of that, he was introducing somebody... Who was it? Oh, Shahid Khan, that's right, when he went with the sale of Wembley.
Yeah.
And he's introduced a clip and said, and here he was, back in September when he was interviewed by Pinky and Perky. He didn't even say who we were. Most of the audience been thinking, who?
Talking finally of Shahid Khan, he's been talking about Wembley, hasn't he? And he says he wants to put a roof on it. Maybe we'll come back to that later on. He also said, I want England to play there. He said, because I don't want to affect the soul of the stadium. Don't worry, Shahid, it hasn't got one, mate. You're thinking of the old stadium that did, not the new one that hasn't. You can't make this stadium any less soulless than it already is.
What is that about? Because I loved the old Wembley, even though it's a bit of a dump. But, I don't know. It's funny.
We've got to go. We'll come back to indoor stadiums a little bit later on. But if you're in a fan club, let us know. What was it and what did you get for your fiver, for your postal order, which you probably sent all those years ago? TalkSport.com, text 81089.
That could be a penalty.
Tweet TSHNJ.
Cartoon capers.
Andy's found cartoon capers. More on that later.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport, making a welcome return to the studio now is comedian Richard Herring. Good to see you, Richard.
Hello, lovely to be back.
Yes, you are at the South Bank Centre's Queen Elizabeth Hall later this week. In Frig, I'm 50.
I am, yes, unbelievably.
It's every decade you'll be. Well, hopefully you'll be coming back to us when you're doing Frig, I'm 60.
Well, there might not be. It might begin with S. That word.
Yes, that's that word. Yeah.
We'll see how that goes. Yeah. Well, I do a joke about saying I'll do this every 10 years. So welcome to the penultimate instalment of the franchise. So we'll see. But you never know. You never know.
Is the show just about your 50 years on Earth, or since 40 to 50?
It's sort of comparing me to 40. So I did a show about turning 40, and And my life has been very different in that. Basically, halfway through that year, I turned 40, I met my wife, and everything sort of changed and turned around. But before I met my wife, I was in a bit of a state and behaving in a dissolute Paul Hollywood fashion. And so it's a bit about comparing that and contrasting and how your priorities change and how things fall apart a bit as you get older. I don't need to tell you guys about that.
Yeah, indeed. You can see it. You can see it actively happening. But you got married, had kids, yes. Sort of moved house a couple of times.
Yeah, I moved out to the countryside. And yeah, two kids. So it's about, you know, it's a little bit about being an older dad, but it's not, you know, it's not too...
Yeah,
you know, it's not that kind of, aren't my kids great? It's quite the opposite. But I am enjoying being a dad. But as always, it's sort of me looking at my. I don't really do observational comedy in the sense of, isn't this what it's like for everyone? I talk about myself and hope that people can resonate with some people. But it's a little bit philosophical, but it's a lot about me fantasizing about becoming intimate with puppets from CBeebies and that sort of thing. You know, it's my usual take on.
Yeah, you got a crush. World. You got a crush on one.
I've got a crush on a human on CBeebies, which is Rebecca.
Oh yes,
CBeebies.
Of course. Yeah,
and then I thought for the sake of my marriage, I should make it a bit safer. So then I became attached to Fenella from the Furchester Hotel, who's within my own age range as well. She's a middle-aged Muppet, so that is fair enough. I'm not sick. I wouldn't go for one of the younger Muppets. In the end, I got invited because I wrote about it in the Metro when I was writing for that paper. So I got invited with my family to the studios, which was a bit weird.
Yeah,
you think after all the BBC had been through, they'd be a bit cautious about inviting. Basically, I'd said how much I fancied and wanted to be intimate with
a Pinella.
You would think they would keep me away from the studio,
sure.
But they said, "Come along, have your fill your boots." And so they were great. So I do a routine about that, which is nice. But they were great. The puppeteers were amazing and crazy.
The kids
must
have loved it.
Well, my daughter doesn't. You know, that's the thing. I was more into the Furchester Hotel than my daughter at the time. My daughter was a bit young at the time to really be into it, so she was a bit scared. She doesn't really like the show. I couldn't really tell them that she didn't really like the show very much. But I was well, I was only watching it for, you know, entertainment purposes of a different kind.
We were talking about fan clubs earlier on.
Oh, yeah.
Because and Gab Cancello, one of our listeners, was telling us he was a member of the Thompson Twins fan club. I mean, did you ever, in your... I mean, you strike me as a fan clubby sort of bloke, Richard.
I think I was in the Sabutio fan club.
Oh, really?
I used to play Sabutio against myself endlessly, but on my own. So very like the snooker
commentating
thing that we talked about before. I probably did commentate. And Leeds United, I support at the time, always. I'd do all the divisions with the little... Remember the little calendars, the little chart league table we got in Shoot.
Yeah.
I would do that, and I'd do not quite the full league fist. I think I did 16 teams instead of 22.
You're well ahead of your
but
time.
But I did a
you
lot.
You play a full like season across all four divisions.
Yeah, all four divisions and the Scottish divisions and the World Cup
child.
And the European Cup. There were only 5-minute halves, I think, so it wasn't quite.
Not the full 90.
Well ahead of your time, though. I mean.
But, and also, just I would make which team I wanted to win, so it was just a...
I
was a Sabutio fan club. I was more into comedy and stuff, so I wasn't really into music. I don't think I'd have been in any band fan clubs.
Right.
If there'd been a Monty Python or a Young Ones fan club, I would have been in
those. Comedians had fan clubs? Has there been that kind of thing? Was that done on?
You sort of feel like the Goodies might have done, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, the old kind of, school
that,
ones
that
might
they
have.
Might have done, but I don't think so, no.
Your show, was it Fist of Fun, wasn't it, with Stuart?
Yeah.
I mean, that had a sort of cult following, didn't it?
Well, that's because I think we both grew up as... We were fans of stuff, so I was a big comedy fan, and Stu was, you know, more of a music fan, but did like comedy as well. So we'd both written to... I mean, Stu had written to The Fall, and I think they'd written back to him, And so we were very conscious of how much it meant if you got like a postcard back from to the people you like. So we did, people were sending stuff in. So we were very interactive. We were sort of an internet show, really, just about as the internet was beginning, but before the internet was beginning. And it was very, people sending stuff in and joining in. So. Mm. And they stay very loyal, those few people who watch that show. They still come along, and see us, so that's nice.
Now, I know a few of these facts about you, not from the press info, but from your Leicester Square Theatre podcast. I'm a big fan, and you have fantastic guests on there.
Yeah,
and
it's been amazing,
You, Becky's on the decks with us today, is a big fan, and she was saying, must ask Richard about Brian Blessed, has gone viral with a clip of that, a little video clip of that has got quite huge.
Yeah, Well, you know, they usually get around about 20,000 views on YouTube. They go out as audio podcasts, and most people listen to them on audio, but they all get filmed. And a couple of them have gone up to 50, 60, 70, and a few are 100,000. But yeah, the Brian Blessed within a week was up to 50. I haven't checked it recently. But it's an amazing thing. I mean, it's just the Brian Blessed show, as I knew it would be. But because I'd built up for it, I was all asking people about him for years and trying to get him on for quite a long time. Mm. And so he finally came on. I think he was suspicious about what it was. But he had the time of his life. It was amazing. Just basically did part of his show, I think, and then got this huge rapturous standing ovation at the end. But it was like really being part. I didn't have much to do with it, but that was part. That was part of the funniness of it. I was sort of sat in the back. Yeah, it's worth watching because
he does like to talk, doesn't he?
He does, but yeah. he's amazing, and he did all his stories. I was hoping to get a bit more new stuff out of him. But he's so good at telling the story.
Doesn't he know the Dalai Lama or something?
Yeah, I think he played football against the Dalai Lama or something like that, or darts.
No, that was Philip Lama.
Brian Munich. Yeah, probably was.
He had a Picasso paint. He met Picasso when he was a child, he says.
Really?
And said, prove you're Picasso. And Picasso drew him a dove. And he said, oh, that's rubbish, and threw it away. Is his story worth £50 million now? So it's all stuff like that. And, I ask in that podcast, have you ever seen a Bigfoot? That's one of my questions that I ask everyone. I thought, this is going to pay off with Brian Blessed, who has seen a Bigfoot, but I asked him the question and then he started talking about something else. So that's how much he's got to talk about, that you ask him a question like that, that he has an answer
to. Has he still got the, we were talking about beards before, has he still got the big...
fine beard, and he was an amazing man. He's 81 years old, an incredible amount of energy, and, you know, very, you know, it's lovely to see someone... You know, playing around with the truth, possibly a little bit, but he delivered a baby on Richmond Common, bit the umbilical cord.
Wow. What a life.
Sounds like Alice Cooper.
What a life, isn't it?
That's not ideal, is it? Really?
I mean, you've had a real kind of who's who of comedy, and people, lots of different entertainers have been on the podcast. Yeah. The people you're still trying to get?
I mean, there are loads of people who aren't that keen to do it, who would love to get on, like Daniel Kitson, who won't, and Chris Morris are quite suspicious, I think, of doing something they're not in control of. I'd love to get someone like Michael Palin, any of the Pythons, really, but yeah. I've had no luck on that yet. I think, like, sometimes the left field ones that just the series we were talking about, getting the Chuckle Brothers on, who have suddenly got their own series again.
Yeah, so yeah.
Someone like the Chuckle Brothers, if they're prepared to talk openly, might be really interesting.
So, I see what I found. I mean, it's very light-hearted, but there was one that you did one with Louis Theroux. Well, this is a very serious subject, but you did one with Louis Theroux, and it was the first time anybody had really talked to him about revisiting the idea of Jimmy Savile and his relationship with him. And he then went and made that hour and a half documentary.
Yeah.
But some of those fundamental questions he asked in that were kind of questions you asked in that podcast. You were a bit of a catalyst for that, actually.
Well, yeah, and we went, in fact, that week we both went and then watched, there was a play with Alistair McGowan being Jimmy Savile on, and we both went and watched it together. So he was obviously having to process that himself as well. And that's where I think the podcast comes into its own, because it's so long form that you can talk for an hour, hour and a half sometimes, and so you can actually get into a meaty subject and not be scared that the news is coming up or that someone's going to take sound bites out. So the whole thing gets put out. That's the beauty of the podcast, I think. And so you do get kind of big revelations from people. And you know, he was interesting because he was trying to Louis through me and ask, you know, I think he was sort of half thinking about trying to follow a aging comedian around and see.
He thought you were a subject.
And I'm like, I don't want to be that guy who's picked out as
Does it come out weekly?
We record a couple of weeks, and then they basically go out for about 40 weeks of the year. And then we're doing them around the country a little bit. I'm doing a couple, I'm doing one in McCulloch Festival and one in Wells. But this is my last tour, the stand up show I'm doing now for a little while. I might tour the podcast.
Not ever, I'll be doing like an ever.
I don't think it's going to be ever, but I just, it's, you know, again, it's just being a bit older and having the family at home. It's much harder to.
So you're not doing Edinburgh this year?
I'm not going to do Edinburgh it'd be the first time I haven't really tried to put together a new show for a long time, even when I've redone shows sometimes. But so I'm going to take it. I've toured every year since 2000 was the last time I didn't tour, so I'm due a year off.
And what about this snooker podcast, Me One and Me Two?
I haven't done too many this year. Yeah. I've got, because we moved and the snooker table's now in the attic and it's much more accessible than it used to be, so I should be doing more, but it's sort of one of those things when I've got a lot and which I have at the moment seems to slide into the background a little bit.
Because that was effectively the podcast, you playing against yourself in a frame of snooker, wasn't it?
Yeah, and commentating on it, and it's, you know, we've done about but that's how much I take it.
Schizophrenic pop.
We've done about 80, I think, now. So, I'd like to do it weekly. I tried to raise £1 million by Kickstarter to build a
crucible.
A mini crucible theatre.
And how much? It got to 100,000, but you don't get any of the money unless you hit the target. It was a joke, so I was a bit scared when it sort of hit. Because I said I'd go anywhere in the country and give them a snooker table and play snooker. But it was like £5,000. It would probably be worth doing.
Probably would.
But I think a lot of people joined in knowing their money was quite safe, I think.
And you mentioned Leeds United. You were a Leeds fan, but
I was Leeds when I was young, and then I moved over to York City, which is the most terrible thing to be. They haven't been relegated this season, at least, but they've had a couple of terrible seasons. Whether they survive or not, I think they've just let 9 players go, and that as they stay in the
They're in the Conference North. Our producer is a Torquay fan. He has just gone into the Conference South. From It's painful.
Well, it's bad enough
he's
to go
gone
back.
Regional.
We got out of the Conference and then back into the Conference. And then, you know, I don't know if there's any way back now. My brother supported Halifax. The same thing happened to them. I think they're back in the Conference now. But,
well, we?
Yeah, it's very, very sad.
It's tough.
I watched them beating Arsenal 1-0 from the 1980s again the other day.
Yeah, in all due, I remember that. So, you can see Richard at the Queen Elizabeth Hall on the South Bank on the 4th of May in Ofring. I'm 50. And you can download the podcast from wherever you normally get your podcast. Do recommend it. It's good listen. They're all there. I mean, you've got hundreds. So
there's like 180 or something of those as well. Yeah. Wow. So, and then we're doing another series of those in September, October, November. So it'll keep on coming as long as people keep coming. Yeah.
Fantastic. Good to see you as always.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Richard Herring. There's Paul Hawksby and Annie Jacobs here on TalkSport. More fan clubs. This one comes from Gribbs. I was in the Steve Grizovic fan club.
Really?
I got a few newsletters and player info. Then one day, to my amazement, I received a signed photo, which I cherish to this day. I'm now 38. So, Oggy sent him a signed picture as well. He made it personal.
What more could you want?
What a lovely touch.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. And we return tomorrow. Reflecting, looking back, as Alan would say, on the football. Looking forward to Liverpool's big night in Rome.
Reflecting on the fact that Alan might as well not have gone to Rome.
Bit harsh. He'll be loving it.
Oh, yeah.
We'll catch up with you tomorrow. Thanks for downloading us.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.